Welcome in, everyone, to another live edition of 410 Sports Talk. I'm Glenn Martin here with my co-host for the day, filling in for Jimmy Haskell, Jason Pruitt of DraftPlex. Very thankful to have Jason here with us tonight. First and foremost, Jason, how are you doing today?
We're doing okay. We're less than, 10 days to the draft, so we're getting very, very close. Just trying to wrap up a few of the last things before we got to kind of bear down and start making things to get scored, so... things are looking good. The board's in good shape. Rankings are in good shape. So whatever we got planned for tonight, I think I'm prepared.
No doubt. And what's going on, Tyler? Appreciate you coming out. Malik, Connor, appreciate you guys being active in the chat. Now, do you know if the award or the, I guess award's the right word. Is it going to be a belt again this year if you take home the championship?
It would be. I'd have to figure out what it would look like. Maybe just do a different strap. I don't know. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. I was like, well, if I get another one, then, you know, it'll look good with the other one.
That's right.
So we'll see. Because there are, you know, there's two things you get scored on. It's the mock draft and the top 100. And ever since I got the mock draft, I was like, I want that top 100. Mm-hmm. I've gotten close a couple times. I'm in the top 10 overall for the last 5 years for that. And I'm like the only one that hasn't won it like four times. So it's pretty stiff competition. The mock, it's just, you know, it's kind of luck of the draw. But top 100, that takes a little bit more effort, intuition on what things are happening. And there's just a lot of good resources out there that just kind of nail the thing year after year. So just looking to compete hard with that. But if I happen to get both, I'd get two belts, you know. Oh, man.
Double straps, just wearing them at the same time. Yeah, that would be tough. But all right, what's going on, Jax? Jamal Hooper, my guy. What's going on, buddy? Katie, appreciate you being in the chat as well. So for this episode, I think what would be kind of cool is, since you have a firm grasp on really all 32 teams and what they're going to be doing, I'm going to play the role of Eric DaCosta and the Baltimore Ravens, and I'm going to ask you to put your GM hat for all other 31 teams selecting – or all – actually, I guess I should ask – are all 32 teams, do they all have a selection in this round?
No, Houston doesn't. Okay. Cleveland doesn't.
Finally have one?
The Rams finally, for like the first time in 8 years, have a first round pick. And we'll see if that sticks. They may try to trade back. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. So yeah, I think we're somewhere about 29 or 30 teams. Because the right now the Vikings have two and the Cardinals have two.
And Chicago?
Chicago does have two as well. So Carolina's the other one. Carolina picks 33. Gotcha. So they're top of the second round.
Gotcha. Okay. Cool. All right. So you're going to have 30 hats sitting next to you and put them all on accordingly. But no, we're going to jump right into it. I think what would be cool is if we try and make this is you know, non-cookie cutter, not to say inaccurate, certainly want to try and be accurate, but not just what the general population is writing, because it seems like every mock draft is starting to look generally the same. And I think what we could do here is not just try and make it more accurate, but also, like, we're gonna talk trade, anything you guys want to that you want to put in front of me here, Jason, I can make happen. Even if that means trading, up or guys trading back. So,
yeah. And let's get some audience participation. If y'all want to be like, hey, sure, let's have them trade up and see what happens. Like, we can do that too. That sounds good. Now, one question before we do get started, like, which good player do you want me to just let fall to the Ravens? Since that seems to be what happens.
Yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
often. So,
man, I'll tell you what, I would not be upset at all if any of the top tackles get there, because what I'm looking for, Jason, is a tackle that can play right this year and transition to left next year. So I'm not necessarily looking for a permanent right tackle. I'm looking for a part-time right tackle who will quickly transition to left once Ronnie Stanley is escorted out of the building after this upcoming season. So look, if you want to, man, is the mic picking up the helicopter that's apparently hovering over my home right now?
Not that I hear.
No? Okay. He's got a good quality mic.
They're ready to pick you up for the front office, and we haven't even got started yet.
That's what it is. It's Steve Bisciotti landing on my roof. No, I mean, Joe Alt would be the preferred.
Let's have Joe Alt slide all the way to 30.
Yeah, I don't think I love what Gideon's saying. Mims is hitting a gas mask, I heard. So yeah, everyone's already trying to get guys to drop. But I haven't seen any news. But look, a lot of stuff's draft night. So maybe we will see a draft night slip by some drama or some news that hits and all that. But let's get into it. I'm going to pull up the screen here and we'll start going through this thing here. So I gave you, or I gave us control of all 32 teams as it's currently standing here. I actually had it sorted by a tackle here, but all right. So currently Chicago Bulls are on the, are on the clock after trading with Carolina. So with the
AJ McCarthy,
is there any doubt that Caleb Williams
send him all the way up the top? No, yeah, there's no doubt. Caleb Williams. And even now I'm starting to see that number two is pretty well penciled in with Jaden Daniels. So
yeah,
that seems pretty solid at this point.
It's all but been leaked by the players themselves on podcasts, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah, Patriots is where it gets interesting. They've really got
to trade.
What's that?
Do you think there could be a trade here? Or do they stand pat?
Me personally, like I put the Vikings trading up to three in my 2.0 mock. Just like the main slots people are looking at as being the trade possibilities is a four to the Cardinals because they've basically said they're open for business, and then the Chargers because it seems like, you know, they want a wide receiver, but they really want an offensive lineman. And so if they were to take that trade, they just drop down to 11. They can still get, you know, Fuaga. They can get Fashanu. They can get Fautanu. Like, so, I mean, there's a possibility for all of those there. So, to be honest, like, I think the Patriots, it does come down to three things. They can take Drake May. They can trade J.J. McCarthy. They can be open for that trade. But wow.
So you don't think there's any chance they take Marvin Harrison?
At this point, I don't think so. I really think, like, if they were to do that, it would make a whole lot of sense. But at the same time, they can drop back to 11 and get Brian Thomas, or they can, you know, take a lineman there and then go with 23, or, you know, maybe even the second round. Me personally, I think that would probably be the best thing for them to do is take Harrison. I just don't like, I wrote this when I had them make the trade in the mock. It's like, they have so many holes. It's like, it's great if you want to take a young quarterback, but like, you're going to dump him right into a bad situation. And not saying that Mac Jones was the end all be all for it and should have been the next Tom Brady there, but like, he didn't have a whole lot of help, and whoever if they draft a quarterback is going to be the same situation. Maybe it turns out better for either one of those guys, but I don't know. I'd much rather, you know, like get the ammo, build up more of the team around him. Maybe you come back around like I had him do at the end of the first round and get Bo Nix at 32. So.
Yeah. I'm hearing a lot of Penix talk is rising the boards as well.
Yeah. So we've got that possibility too of both of those guys, you know, so I have them both as 1-2 right now because, like, they could both go in the first round, and then we got six quarterbacks going in the first round. So it'd be a pretty interesting night.
I would love that as a Ravens fan. Absolutely love that.
That would work in your favor because then you're bringing down more position players, more linemen, more corners, more receivers even. So if we can get all six of those guys in the top 15, I would hate it from a mock draft perspective because that's probably going to break everything. Not that it's already in bad shape as it is, you know, to start out because you don't know where these quarterbacks are going. But for the sake of doing this, let's throw the wild card in there and say the Patriots like J.J. McCarthy.
Okay. All right. Let me sort by quarterback because he's probably going to be quite low. There we go. So J.J. McCarthy, you know, this is as surprising as I think some people in the chat may find it. This wouldn't completely shock me because I do think teams are falling in love with J.J. McCarthy. And this is a new regime in New England. This isn't Bill Belichick's team, and maybe they you know, just feel like this is the guy that can kind of be the start of this new transition period where they get rid of the old guard and Bill Belichick and leave Tom Brady and that legacy behind, and JJ's the new guy. So all right, so they go J.J. McCarthy. This is a prime position for the Cardinals, in my opinion, to absolutely just load up on picks and surround Kyler with a ton of talent, Or they could say, look, this guy, Marvin Harrison, or any of the receivers, Neighbors, or even, was it Rome?
Rome, yeah.
Yeah. Even Rome. I mean, what do you think they do here if you're the Cardinals GM? What are you doing?
Well, I think they'd really like to have Marvin Harrison. Mm-hmm. They've already got two first-round picks. Do they want more than that? I think they could use them.
Yeah.
What do the Vikings want to do? Do they want Drake May? Do they want to jump the Giants in case that were to come to pass?
Mm-hmm.
Let's have the Vikings trade up to number four.
I love it. All right. So Minnesota Vikings trade to number four and give up. What do you think it's going to take to get from 11 to four?
That's a good question. Let me pull up what I did in the mock, because I had them go to three. It's gonna be 11.
Big drop. 23.
11 and 23 for sure.
Oh, and so, 23. Okay.
So when I had them go up to three, New England got 11, 23, and 129, and then the first and third in 2025. For this, it probably just lets you just do the picks, right? So, I mean, or like you can kind of force the trade. Then in return, Minnesota got 3 and 68. But for this one, it would be 66. So four that would be kind 66. Of like a little, yeah.
Okay, and that's giving fair value.
Yep.
Right here. Wow. So to move up seven spots, wow, you got to give up three ones, basically, because you're giving
Based on that, there's a couple of trade charts that are out there, like publicly available, you can look at. And so I did the math to make sure that if I posted a trade, I wanted to put what the compensation was.
Gotcha.
So this is obviously just guesstimating, because like I had them go from 11 to 3. So like what we have here may be a little bit of an overpay, even though mm-hmm. it's going up to number 4. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head about what each pick's worth. But you're definitely looking at, you know, the two ones plus the one next year. And then and I had them do a pick swap just to give Minnesota something back. So it could very easily just be 11, 23, maybe the one in the three next year. But, you know, I think we can force the trade, because we're only doing the first round mock, so it's not going to throw anything off.
I like it. Whoa, why is it not letting me hit? Okay, there we go. Force trade. Okay. All right. So.
And Minnesota's coming up for Drake May.
Minnesota is getting Drake May. Man, do you buy into Drake May, or is he Mitch Trubisky 2.0?
I have trouble. Like, so there's a couple players in this draft that I came in like wanting to be like, I want to like this guy, because mm-hmm. and I don't know that I'm on board with Drake May. You know, I don't know if it, what particular reason, it just it feels like, because he kind of, you know, looks the part and in a lot of ways plays the part, but I only see like two like start them tomorrow quarterbacks in this draft, and it's Caleb Williams, it's Jaden Daniels. I think Drake May will need a year or two. Mm. I don't know if he gets that, which, you know, we just talked about New England would be a spot where he could probably, because they've got Jacoby Brissett, who's a serviceable stopgap there. Mm-hmm. Minnesota has Sam Darnold, which, you know, it's a little bit harder to read at this point, you know, him three teams removed since he was a first round quarterback. Mm-hmm. But he's got a situation there where he's got Josh McCown, who, you know, was his coach in high school. So like, there's all these dots to connect. Right.
Yeah.
But I don't, at this point, I don't see him going at two anymore. There's still a possibility, but I just think like the Jaden Daniels smoke has just gotten so thick. You just feel like that's going to happen now.
Right.
So, I mean, either one of those Patriots or Vikings would be the situation he would go in, where they do have a veteran quarterback. But as a prospect, I don't know. I don't see top five, like ceiling. Sure. But you know, you got to get him there, right? Mm-hmm. So, and when mm-hmm. when you're picking in the top five, you're usually not in the best situation to do that. So,
good point.
We'll see what happens with the Vikings. I think they're trying to build the team the right way. They've got a room prepared that I think works for Drake May or JJ McCarthy. And in this, you know, particular sim, we're going to put him with the Vikings.
Okay. All right. Now the Chargers on the clock. Jim Harbaugh in town wants to build the 2019 Ravens, it looks like, in LA this year with Roman and all the former Ravens that have joined the team. But what do you think they do here after losing a ton of position talent last offseason?
I think so, and I'm going to go with the pick that I put in my 2.0 because I don't think it's wide receiver no matter what. I think if it's Marvin Harrison Jr., I think they will take him over the offensive lineman. So let's go with Marvin Harrison Jr.
Man, Marvin Harrison Jr. going to Greg Roman's offense. Who'd have thunk they'd take a receiver and put him in Greg Roman's offense? I noticed you've consistently had Marvin Harrison as your number one receiver, whereas a lot of guys have now gotten a little cute, in my opinion, and putting guys ahead of him, in particular multiple guys like Malik Nabers and Rome Adunze. Is mm-hmm. it Adunze?
Adunze? Adunze, yeah.
Adunze. What's your quick take on the difference between those three guys?
So I think with Marvin Harrison Jr. and Rome Adunze, you've got like polished, you know, feature wide receivers. I think mm-hmm. both of those guys are that. And I've started to see the love for Rome Adunze coming up. I think Daniel Jeremiah said he's like his favorite player in the draft, period.
Wow.
I don't know if he has him ranked number one. I'd have to go back and look, but I just happened to see him commenting on that today. And Nabers, obviously, I think is a more exciting player. Like Rome, they've kind of the comp has been like Larry Fitzgerald, who, mm-hmm. you know, obviously did a lot of great things in his career, but you wouldn't sit there and say like he's the, you know, the Sports Center top 10 highlights kind of thing for, you know, like explosive plays or anything like that.
Right.
I'm not a Cardinals fan. I've only seen him play a few times, so maybe he was. I don't know, but he was very much like just very, you know, steady, high floor player where Nabers just has that extra gear, the run after catch and that sort of thing. So I've seen both of them. I've started to see that. I haven't moved away from Marvin Harrison Jr. just because, you know, he's just a freak show, man. like you don't get somebody that's that good that early, and like you could plug him into any team and he would be wide receiver one.
And looks like for Miami.
Well, yeah.
There's a couple.
But no, I think all gotcha. Three of those guys, if you were to say one is 1A, one is 1B, and one is 1C, I can't argue really with any different way. Cause again, like I'm not I don't sit here and put these guys on a point scale of how to grade them. Mm-hmm. I just know they're all really good players and all worthy of a, you know, a top 6, 7, 8 pick in this draft. So
okay.
Kind of in that vein, moving on to number 6 with the Giants.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think Rome Adunze is the guy for them.
Rome Adunze. Okay.
I don't know how much to buy into some of the stuff that's come out about Malik Nabers, like some of the negative stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to say that that's impacting this, but I think like if anywhere that were to be true, the team would know it. And let's just assume that like maybe they don't want any sort of headaches that they've had. I mean, if we recall a couple of years ago, they had Kadarius Toney that they drafted in the first round and then kind of dumped him after a couple of years. Yep. And he hasn't really proved to do much more after that. Not saying that any mm-hmm. off-field stuff is contributing to that. He just may not have, you know, had the development, but like for everything you hear about Rome Adunze seems just to be really positive, and he has that, you know, that mentality you want from a professional, and you know, maybe a better situation works for Malik Nabers than it would be going to the biggest media market in the
That's
world.
A good point. Yeah. 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 It certainly comes with a different added pressure playing under those New York lights. But the Tennessee Titans on the clock says their number one need is receivers as well, but also big need at O-line. What do you think they do?
I think they don't have a left tackle. So, so let's give them Joe Alt, because I think if and again, this is just me ripping off my mock draft 2.0s, they don't draft Joe Alt and he's there, that's going to be a shock.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I agree. I think that would be quite stunning, especially with the new head coach there who seems like he's an offensive guy, seems like he would want to, you know, build up that build up that offensive line. But hey, he's also a former offensive coordinator that had one hell of a group of receivers where he came from in Cincinnati, coming over here. So maybe, just maybe, but we'll see what happens draft night. All right, the Falcons on the clock, says they need D lineman and cornerback. What's your thoughts?
Let's just forget about that and give them Malik Nabers, because you know, like I can take somebody lower down the board, or I can take somebody who probably should be going in the top five.
Okay. And so they just go BPA.
They've got Drake London. They've got, I think it's Rondale Moore now. They've got Darnell Mooney. But, you know, those guys are like all 1 year contracts. Kyle Pitts, you know, they have to make a decision on. Let's just load up. We got Kirk Cousins as a quarterback. He needs the help he can get.
That's right. I love it. All right. Well, Chicago got their quarterback at number one in Caleb Williams. They're back on the clock now at pick number nine. And is this the spot Brock Bowers goes? No, they got a tight end. They got a good tight end.
They've got Cole Kmet. So actually, Chicago, I know they've been looking at edge rushers. So okay, they'd be happy to see Dallas Turner there available at number nine.
I like that. Okay, Dallas Turner. Interesting. All right. They certainly need help there. So, all right. How about the Jets? Jets trying to, man, all you talk about an all-in team. This team feels like they are all in this year. And, man, they're banking on a healthy Aaron Rodgers. And if that is the case, if he is healthy, I think they certainly have as good a shot as anyone. But what's your take, man? This, if Brock Bowers is teamed up.
If you're saying, like, we're going to play this year without a net, and they're like, both of these tackles with an injury history that we just signed as free agents, Tyron Smith and your guy Morgan Moses, who they got in the trade, are going to be the tackles, and let's hope they survive the season. Let's take Brock Bowers. If we're going to fly the plane, let's you know, like, fly it, and if it crashes, it crashes.
Hey, so you can't make that when you're talking about a New York team. That reference is it's too soon. Okay, it's still
fair
too
enough.
Soon. You
know? Fair enough.
But okay, yeah, that would be crazy. I think, bro, I just saw a video today of Brock Bowers doing a standing backflip where he got high enough. I think he could have tucked two into that backflip. That's how explosive an athlete that guy is. He is going to be a problem. Does it start to seem like there's more great tight ends in the league than there are great wide receivers?
You could probably make that case. I mean, certainly, you know, with the it's very top heavy. And I think, you know, receiver, it's kind of debatable depending on what you think of each one of the guys that you'd probably put up there. But yeah, it certainly seems that way. And then, of course, with the, you know, the influx of talent coming every year in this draft, like, I think that the kind of across the board depth with the wide receiver talent is certainly very much so. But yeah, those tight ends are making a mark now.
So many good ones out there. It seems like every team has one. It's just nutty. The Ravens, I think, have two with Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely. I think they got two really good. And, of course, you know better than anyone about Ferguson and what he can do over in Dallas. Yep. I mean, holy smokes. There's a ton. But Cardinals back on the clock. They got they traded back. That's right. This is the team that traded back.
Yeah, they got so they've got 11, they've got 23, and they've got 27. So we're picking three times for the Cardinals. But you know what they've kind of been looking at is corner, wide receiver, probably an edge rusher. And I think for the purposes of this, let's look at the corner. Let's not dip into that wide receiver pool just yet. We can wait a little bit for that. So we'll go to corner. And let's give them Terrion Arnold.
Okay. All right. Terrion Arnold, first cornerback off the board. So at this point, just as a quick recap, we only have one tackle gone. So in this scenario, I'd be feeling pretty optimistic at this point as a Ravens fan. But I got to imagine that run is
I'm gonna
on
send
its
you on
way.
That run.
Here. Oh, no. Don't do it. All right. Well, let's see what the Broncos do at number 12.
Yeah, the Broncos, they're missing out on the quarterback. I'm not ready to give them Bo Nix or Penix. You know, like, if I'm doing this, I'm not reaching on the quarterback. So, you know, the Broncos, their wide receiver situation's kind of in a place as well, but I think they can address that later. As far as the cornerback goes, I think they might look there too. You know, I don't know if anybody down the board would want to trade up. You know, like you said, we've got the possibility of getting that other corner off the board, which I think is going to throw a wrench into some plans. But
well, you tell me, do the Cowboys want to move up? It's that's the team that's offering right now.
Oh, they actually offered?
They offered, yes.
Yeah, Cowboys, let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay.
We got all those tackles on the board.
That's right. All right, so what's it going to cost to go from 24 to 12?
Let's see.
Definitely 56, right?
Yeah, definitely 56, and maybe does it give? It doesn't give you like the. And let's give them a 3 for next year.
Oh, that seems too. Oh, okay. So this trade would be accepted, but is that enough? You think that would be enough to go up 12 spots? You give up your second round pick and next year's 3. Is that a fair trade?
Let me look on the trade chart real quick.
Now, according to PFF, this trade will be accepted, so they wouldn't have.
Yeah.
You know, they so I, there.
Looking at the trade chart, 12 is worth 1,200. 24 is 740. Okay. So we got to make up 460. Mm-hmm. We got 56, which is 340. That puts us at 1080. Mm-hmm. Future 3 is at 190. So yeah, I think that about does it. If it's okay. A little bit of an under or overpay, but Denver is also kind of over a barrel too, because they don't have. I don't think they have a second round pick.
Right.
They have 12 and then their next pick is at 76. So they might be happy to pick up a second because they're kind of talent deficient as well. So,
all right. So we're going to offer this trade. They take that trade. So now the Cowboys are on the clock. What are they doing with number 12?
And I'm going to be the hero in Dallas because I'm taking Talisi Fuaga, the tackle for Morgan State.
You know, I shouldn't have let you do this. You know, what's going on here? All right, Fuaga's off the board. Another target that I'm sure the Ravens would love to land, but have very little chance to do so.
Yeah, because I also think that the Cowboys would have to jump the Raiders if they were to do it. Despite the Penix Jr. talk, you know, if the Raiders are taking a position, they're taking a corner, or I think they would take Fuaga. So considering their tackle of preference is gone, let's give them Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback from Toledo.
Okay. All right. I like that. Defensive head coach with Antonio Pierce. Reasonable to think that they would go defensive side when it comes to their first pick. What's going on here? This draft simulator is stalling at this point. that's just perfect. That's just, let me see what Malik says that trade was not enough. I don't know. He's got the sheet there.
Pretty reliable source from the Huddle Report.
Yeah,
they,
I think
they score everybody. So
yeah, they're the judge.
Believe it or not, you can go back and look at the compensation of these trades, and I feel like it's gotten less over the years. Like
really,
before it just seemed like you got to give away, you know, the farm in order to move up. But like teams I said, you know, you never know. Like some teams will underpay, some teams will overpay, some teams will drop back. You know, it's not a draft day scenario. I didn't give away our next 3 years of, you know, second round picks to go back to the first. But
yeah, right.
At least by the math on the trade chart they supply.
Let me see here. I think we're going to have to type in these really quickly because the draft simulator just absolutely pooped the bed on us. But the good thing is we'll just run through them real quick and
knock. Yeah, this will be our recap of what we've done so far.
Exactly. So just to let Caleb you guys Williams, know. That's right.
Jaden Daniels.
There we go. Where is Jaden? Why is he so far down on here? Jesus.
They don't like him, do they?
Not at all. And Drake May?
No, we had JJ going to.
JJ, that's right. That's right. That's right.
We had JJ going there.
And then we traded.
Right. And then we can just force the trade to get through this. The Vikings moving up, giving them 11 and 23.
There we go. 11, 23, 4. And then was it – you threw in some other stuff too.
Yeah, but I mean, since we're not going through the first round, we can just force it and just give them the first round picks.
That's a good point. All right, force that. And then they took Drake May.
They took Drake May.
And then
we got Marvin Harrison. Rome. And Malik, what is that? Joe Alt.
Joe Alt.
Then Malik Neighbors, BPA.
That's right.
Chicago's got Dallas Turner.
That's right, Dallas Turner. I'm kind of surprised how low they are on him.
Brock Bowers. Bowers.
Okay.
Then we went Terry and Arnold.
Terry and Arnold.
And then we forced the trade with the Cowboys.
That's right, that's right.
To Denver.
That's right, Cowboys. All right, and we did 24. We'll just do the just those for today.
Yeah.
Is that it, right? Because we already know that that trade we did was considered to be acceptable, but using the same thing that the teams use themselves, and then they ended up going with, who'd you say?
With Fulaga. Yeah.
Come on.
There you go.
This thing is acting a little crazy. It better not freeze up again. All right, and then the Raiders went, you said corner, right?
Yeah, they went Quinyon Mitchell.
Mitchell. There we go. All right, cool. So on the clock with the Saints, and I know you said you don't want to reach for quarterbacks, but this is back-to-back teams that quarterbacks listed as their number one need. Who's the quarterback currently for the Saints? Who's the
– Derek Carr.
I mean, he's a solid player, but it seems like everyone wants to get rid of that guy. What's your take on what the Saints do at 14?
I think they're taking a tackle because they don't had a first round pick that hasn't panned out with Trevor Penning, and then they've got Ryan Ramczyk, who we'll see how and when he comes back to play because he appears to have a knee issue that's problematic. So let's go with Fashanu, the tackle from Penn State.
Man, this is.
Yeah, we're going on the run here.
Come on, man. Don't look. The Colts have already said they're going to take wideout, the fast guy. He took a visit and everything. What's going on?
I don't know about that. I think they're going to like somebody that kind of hits all their marks for the athleticism and the athletic profile and the testing, and that would be Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU.
I like it.
I think they'd like to see those corners there, but again, we're doing something a little bit different than just slotting in a corner every time for them.
No, I like that. Okay. Now the Seahawks are on the clock. They got a new head coach, Mike McDonald, young man who's about my age, is the now head coach of the Seattle Seahawks, which is just incredible to think about. Like trying to put myself in the shoes of a guy who's going to run an NFL team at my age is just insane. But what do the Seahawks do with their first pick?
Well, it's kind of funny that, you know, their GM has come out against, like, interior offensive line and how, you know, you pay these guys too much and then, you know, like, they cost too much. And then it's like, well, everybody gives them an interior offensive lineman because they'll use that asset.
Yep.
I actually think somebody else is going to come up.
Oh, okay.
I think Philadelphia is a little interested to come up.
Philly. Okay. So Philly. Coming up from 22 to 16. And so I'm assuming you had a draft proposal that was, a trade proposal that was also.
Yeah, well. So this was a pick swap. So this was one I did in my 2.0. It was 22 and 53 for 16 and 102.
Okay.
But then they've got it said they're not interested in trading for this pick, probably because they're forcing that. What does it say? Guard and center are their two main needs.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're going to force the trade.
Okay. All right. Force the trade. And then who is Philly hunting for at 16?
They are actually going to go
Cooper DeJean. I know it. You're going to say it.
Absolutely not. They're going Jared Verse.
Jared Verse. Okay. Let me see. Jared Verse. Wow. Philly, they're going to add to the front seven. Every year
Philly
they draft
builds
front
in
seven.
The trenches. They've got the ancient Brandon Graham. They've got Nolan Smith. They traded away Hassan Reddick, who was their best pass rusher, but Nolan Smith didn't give them a whole lot last year. They did sign Bryce Huff from the Jets. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, free agency, you got to spend the money. But they like to load up. They'll take a defensive tackle after they took a defensive tackle in the first round the previous year. So that's what we're going to do is just give them more on the defense and keep that strong. So that's what we're going to do.
All right. I can't believe, is this accurate? They're saying the Eagles' biggest need is wide receiver when they have A.J. Brown.
They just extended Devontae Smith. I think they need to go back and reevaluate what the needs are.
That is quite silly. All right, Jags on the clock. What are they doing?
The Jags are so disappointed that both of those corners are gone. And, you know, if this was an opportunity for them to bump back, which I think would be a possibility, I won't just sit here and repeat my 2.0 mock, so let's give them something different.
Okay.
So what does it have them there? It has them at guard and center. I'm going to look at my
guard, center, edge, and DB. Yep.
So what I have for them is corner is the top need, but then they've got value picks at either wide receiver or offensive tackle.
Okay.
They did just draft, I think it was Anton Harrison last year. So you would assume they've got a tackle in mind for to slot in at left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So from a wide receiver perspective, I don't see anybody there.
Okay.
So maybe they will go back to the DB land. And I'm not going to give them Cooper. Let's give them Nate Wiggins.
All right. Nate Wiggins, corner out of Clemson. Okay. I like that. Now, the Bengals, I bet they were hoping Bowers would have dropped to this point.
Absolutely, they were. I think they'd also like one of those tackles, but I don't know that the one they would want has fallen to them.
Well, they got the two biggest tackles in the world is what I just saw on Twitter. Everybody's flexing. I'm like, look, their left tackle is a damn right tackle. He started at right tackle. He should have stayed his ass at right tackle instead of whining his way out of Baltimore and tanking his trade value. But look, as you can see, I'm still not over Big Sloppy leaving. But they got two tackles, but they're – you know, the right tackle is aging, to say it lightly. What do you think they do here?
Well, like I said, I think it would have to be – I think they would like to see Fuaga there, but since I already took him and saved football in Dallas, no, I won't go that far. But that is a line from draft day. You should watch it. It's the time of year to watch it. It's horrible, but it's entertaining. I don't see them taking one of those guys. I think, you know, Fautanu would be a possibility. But I also think somebody would want to come up for a Fautanu. But for the sake of this, let's go down and give them Byron Murphy since they're looking for defensive line help.
Byron Murphy, was he at the top? No, he was down low. Okay, yeah, here he is. Byron
12.
Murphy. Got you. Okay, cool.
I think they'd like to see him there.
Because did they not just lose DJ Reader? I think DJ Reader's gone.
Yeah, DJ Reader, I don't recall who he signed with. They replaced him with Sheldon Rankins and BJ Hill. But Byron Murphy's a different type of, he's more of that interior rusher as opposed to those guys are kind of your bigger run stuffers. So, but LA is up next.
Man, it's been a while, dude. I wonder if they know what it's like picking in the first round.
they've been out of this game for a little bit, and so I think their primary needs are going to be on the front seven as well. And I think I'm going to go with somebody who's been a popular pick for them as well, which is Laiatu Latu.
All right. So going back to the edge, certainly need help in pass rush with the retiring of Aaron Donald, which is going to be, I mean, man, talk about, there's so many players that I think, or not so many, there's a few players that I think have retired with plenty of football left in them, and he's certainly one of them. But shout to him for realizing that, you know, he's more than just a football player and retired when he wanted to and not when he was forced into by injury or by, you know, his performance dropping off. But this is the pick I'm really interested in because every time I do a mock, Jason, I look at what the Steelers do and damn it, if they don't pick a bunch of damn good players, just like they do in real life, I hate it. They're so good at drafting. It drives me nuts. I will say I celebrated the Kenny Pickett draft. I did not think that was going to be good. And I was ultimately right about that. But
yeah,
what are the Steelers doing at 20?
Steelers are going Mims, Amarius Mims. I think they've done a lot of homework on him, and I think they're really interested. They took his teammate Broderick Jones last year, so now they'll have Jones moving over to left and then Amarius Mims on the right. So I think they'll like to see him there.
Wow, okay. Well, let's just hope that he's a little banged up when it's time for the Ravens to play against him because those are two big boys. And then they got – that tight end out of Alabama last year. Who was that giant tight end out of Alabama? Who's 280? Oh,
Darnell Washington. Yeah.
They got him too. So I don't want to see all that lined up in front of the Ravens with those backs and Justin Fields likely running the quarterback position after Russell Wilson gets benched. I don't want to see that rush attack.
They're doing what the Eagles have done on defense. They've drafted all the Georgia players, and now Pittsburgh's doing all the offense, and even Justin Fields, who originally was at Georgia for a spell. So
look at that, comes full circle there.
Now we'll see if Russell Wilson can see over either of those two guys. They're both pretty gigantic, but he'll just have to throw it over the middle.
You better find them passing lanes, Russ. But let's see what the Dolphins do, because tight end obviously a need when they. Oh, I guess I should. I do think the Bengals got their tight end, Gesicki. Is that correct? Or Gesicki went somewhere, and I think he might have went to the Bengals. I
believe so.
It's a nice pickup for the Bengals, unfortunately, for the Raiders.
Yeah. So the Dolphins, I think they're more going to be focused on the offensive line, I think, with the players that are still on the board. And I'm going to give them Troy Fautanu.
Troy's the guy. Okay. They certainly need help. Help there. All right, Philly traded up earlier, so the Seattle Seahawks are now on the clock at 22. What are they doing?
Yeah, Seahawks, I'm going to go with kind of the surprise pick that feels very Seahawks-ish, and I'm going to give them Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker from Texas A&M.
Let me see here. I have a feeling he's probably low.
They probably have him a little bit lower, but there has been reports that he could be a crash the first round type of guy. So those teams that are looking at him in the 50s in a shallow linebacker class, he's very much in the running for the best one.
Because they don't have Bobby Wagner anymore. Is that correct?
No, Bobby Wagner is with the Commanders, they signed, I think, Jerome Baker. They basically traded linebackers in free agency with the Dolphins. The Dolphins got Jordan Brooks, and then the Seahawks got Jerome Baker.
Which Baker had a ton of tackles last year, isn't that correct?
Yeah.
I remember correctly? Yeah, so. Yeah. All right, well, we'll see how Mike McDonald. Yeah, we'll see what Mike McDonald does over there. All right, now the Cardinals back on the clock at 23. Let's see here. What did we give? What did they do?
We gave them Terry and Arnold, cornerback. So
okay.
They're going to look at the wide receivers. Who do we have left?
Yep, wide receiver.
On the board there, because they're going to need to fill that spot. So we got A.D. Mitchell. We got Troy Franklin, Ladd McConkey. Everybody's favorite, Keon Coleman.
Dude, why is it that he became – like, people get angry in our chat when we say that they're not going to take Keon Coleman at 30. What? Why does everyone love Keon Coleman so much?
You'd have to tell me. I mean, I kind of just – I'm an objective observer. I think he's a big target, but – I don't think you got to pick him at 30 also, like I said in the previous show, like it depends on how you stack those receivers. I don't know that he'll be available at the end of the second round, but for the quantity that there is and the different flavors that you have of talent, if a team wants a big receiver, they'll certainly take him, but it doesn't mean you have to take him at 30.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for the Cardinals, let's give him A.D. Mitchell there.
Mm-hmm. I like 23. That.
I just feel like that's the spot. Whichever team is picking there, whether it's Minnesota, whether it was New England, who I had in my trade in my mock, whether it's the Cardinals, like I feel like 23 is the spot for A.D. Mitchell, like whoever the team is. So you just kind of pencil him in there, because whatever team that maybe makes that trade, it could even be the Chargers, could look at him at that spot. So.
Yeah. I think that is that'd be a nice replacement for Hollywood Brown. They just lost to add some little extra juice to the wide receiver room. I do think they have an awesome tight end in Trey McBride. I think he's fantastic. Add some. And they got one. Who's that wide receiver? They got solid player.
I think it's Michael Wilson.
That's it.
Yeah. So he's kind of the room right now, because I said, I think it was a trade that Rondale Moore ended up with the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have like Greg Dortch. They have a couple other kind of depth players, but they need a primary target there. And so he's the next of that second tier there.
Well, let me ask Broncos you this. I got a quick question here.
Yeah.
Because this is a spot where I could see I could see a spot. I could see a potential for the Ravens. Say they fell in love with J.C. Latham. I got to imagine Green Bay is going tackle here. So do you look at this as a spot where the Ravens might look to trade up just a few spots to get the tackle that they think is a day one starter?
I think they would. And I think Denver would be open to it because I don't, you know, the only worry you have would be a team wanting to come up for the quarterback. And there ain't too many of those teams that are left that absolutely need to do that.
Yeah.
We've taken the first four. Obviously everybody has connected the Raiders to Penix. I think the pick for Denver, if we stay put, is Bo Nix. But you tell me, as the Ravens GM in this simulation, do you want to make an offer for that pick?
I do want to make an offer. I want to make an offer. I want to see what it's going to take for me to go from 30 to 24. So if you have that that calculator out with you, I'm going to see what it's going to take here. All right. So obviously 30 and 24, but can I get away with, do I have to give up 93? I guess is my question. Is that a must?
I think from a realism perspective, that's the caveat that goes with it. Because the difference between the two on this chart, 740 for 24, 620 for 30. So you got to make up 120 points and 93 is 128.
Oh, so it's so perfect. Oh, of course. Would the Ravens give up their third round pick? You know, what's interesting is if you look at their history, even like certainly in their recent history, like the last decade, and compare their second round pick versus what they've done in the third round, they have been so much more successful in the third round that it's not even close. Their second round picks have been god awful. Like, you got to go back to Torrey Smith until they had a hit in the second round. Like, it's, and some of it's just been bad luck. Like J.K. Dobbins just had just terrible injury luck. Like, I don't blame them for all of them, but in the third round, like what, a couple years ago, they got Mark Andrews and Orlando Brown Jr. in the third round. They got Justin Madubuike the year before in the third round. Like, they've just nailed their third round pick. So,
yeah, it's an asset. Or do you want to see what happens when I draft for the teams and wait till 30?
You know, I you know what? The reason I can't do it is because I just can't imagine the Eric DaCosta is going to sit all third round and not have a single pick. So I'm not going to do it. I kicked the tires on it. But I'm not going to do it. All right. So who are they taking?
The Broncos are taking Bo Nix. They were willing to drop back, but now they've got to take that quarterback. So,
well, go ahead and rip my heart out. Take him. I know you're going to say it. Who's Green Bay taking?
Green Bay is going to take Graham Barton.
Oh, I like that.
Because he has a position flex, and I think they kind of have a puzzle to put together with their offense. So the best spot works for him. He's, you know, a tackle by trade. Everybody's projecting him into a center, including me. But a lot of people are also projecting him as guard. So I think he does have five position flex. So wherever he slots best into their best five, that's where they're going to put him.
Well, you know what's interesting here is that I also think that the Bills are very much so in the market for a tackle. I do think they need wide receiver help as well, but tackle is certainly big on their list. And it just so happens right now that one of the two teams that we're willing to offer a trade right now are the Baltimore Ravens. So I need you to get that calculator back out one more time for me, Jason, because I need to know what the difference is between 26 and 30, and do I still have to give up 93?
26 is 700. 30 is 620. If you wanted to give up 113, I can do that.
Whoa, okay. What's 113?
So just a fourth. It's 82.
That's
so
perfect.
Your overpay is by 2 points.
I'm doing it. I am doing it. We are going up to 26. I love it. Okay.
That's your pick. You got Cooper, you got JC, you got Tulane.
It's no questions asked. It's JC Latham. So before we go on to 27, I need you to grade my pick. I mean, what would, if the Ravens were able to land JC Latham in the first round, whether it be here at 26 or if they're fortunate enough to have him fall to 30, would that be a good pick for the Ravens?
Yeah, that's an A. And this was the trade that I kind of teased a couple shows back. I actually had the Ravens going up to 21 with the Dolphins, And that cost you 30, 93, and 130 for 21.
Wow.
So that was the compensation. So you got a better trade, and you still got your player.
Man, I didn't have to give up. I didn't have to give up 93, man. This really worked out. Holy smokes. Okay. All right. Well, let's finish off this first round. Who are the Cardinals going with here at 27?
Yeah, the Cardinals, I think we're going to look at pass rusher,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to go with Chop.
Yeah, I know you're a lot higher on Chop than a lot of guys are. Of course, Ravens fans don't want anything to do with him because of Adafe Owe, but you think he's no Adafe Owe. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know. All of these guys, he does have a similar, you know, prospect profile coming out where you hope that the best football is ahead of him. Mm-hmm. But like I said, like when I watched him, you know, I saw a lot there to work with. And I made the comp to Micah Parsons, maybe like the discount version to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
But I also felt like it's hard to figure out where you can slot him. I think the Rams could be a possibility.
Okay.
But otherwise, I think this kind of area, 26, 27, you know, like you traded with Tampa, but I think they would look at him there. Mm-hmm. And then the Cardinals, if they were to make this trade, they would be looking at him there too. So we're going to give him to the Cardinals, and then that gives us what, Buffalo?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Buffalo really wanted that wide receiver there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they did. So you're telling me that Ladd McConkey's not worthy of this pick?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that at all, because that's their pick.
Oh, look at that. I knew where you were going.
I think they would want one of the, like, I think either Brian Thomas or A.D. Mitchell to be there. But I think they'd be perfectly fine to take Ladd McConkey.
All right. So Ladd's off the board, and man, that would be a nice pickup for Josh Allen. But let's go 29, Detroit. Where are they going?
Yeah, Detroit. I've kind of put and this is a popular one for them too. I just think the mentality fits is Darius Robinson from Missouri. Okay. So I don't know where was this PFF you have. I don't know where they have him, but I think he's a kind of a fringe first round. Yeah, they're pretty low on him, but yeah, he's, mm-hmm. I think he's a top 40 player all day.
Nice. Okay. 6'5", 296. That's a big boy at edge.
Yeah. He has some inside outside versatility. So
certainly.
I think he can mix in there pretty well in Detroit.
Yeah. Put him on the interior, and let him rush from the inside on a definite passing. Woo! At 296. I mean, that's a big boy. All right. So, the Bucks are back on the clock, pick 30. Where are they going?
Yeah, I think it comes down to two things, despite their needs posted there. I think they want a center or mm-hmm. an edge rusher. And I think it's kind of hard to overlook JPJ there, mm-hmm. If at 30 especially.
Yeah,
so they picked up 113 from the Ravens, and they're still going to get the player they would have drafted there.
I love that. Yeah, because they lost Jensen. Ryan Jensen, formerly the Ravens, who was definitely a fan favorite, just recently retired. So they certainly need to replace what he left that void. But 31, Niners on the clock. I'm always interested in what the Niners are doing, because I got a lot of respect for what they do over there. I think they do a great job. I think they got a great tandem of head coach and GM. And although I do think it was a massive, massive error, swing and miss, and almost fire-worthy type of mess up when they go with Trey Lance in the first round and give up all that they gave up just to completely give up on the kid. But they saved their ass by getting Brock frickin' Purdy with the last pick, and
yeah,
he turned out the way he did.
Yeah, it's kind of a wash when you think about like the assets they gave up versus where they appear to have found their quarterback. So
they got so lucky, man. If they wouldn't have found him, oh my God, they look like idiots.
Yeah. But that's the thing, is like, if they didn't, then they probably wouldn't have traded Trey Lance, you know, to Dallas. So, and plus they, you know, for the way these picks were kind of, you know, like Mac Jones got traded and then Justin Fields got traded, they actually got better compensation back too, because they got a fourth in return for Trey Lance versus a fifth or a sixth that these other guys got. So it kind of worked out for them. But looking at what they're looking at now, the kind of the main need that San Francisco's been looking at is a right tackle.
Okay.
And we actually have one of those still on the board, and that's going to be Tyler Guyton.
Tyler Guyton off the board. There he is out of Oklahoma. All right. So number 32, and this is another team. Obviously, every team should be watching what these suckers are doing over in Kansas City, but certainly the Ravens have an eye on anything that they're going to be doing, because they know that the AFC goes through, really the whole NFL goes through Kansas City at this point. But man, I feel like this is a big draft for them, because with the aging Travis Kelce and the fact that they have Hollywood at receiver, but it looks like Rice is about to be in for some serious legal issues from the crash he just got into. But What's your take on what they do at 32 here?
Well, I think, you know, kind of the two schools of thought is like, oh, they're just going to take Xavier Worthy, right? Because he's the fast guy. He's the, you know, 2 years removed Tyreek Hill replacement.
Yep.
But they're also looking at offensive line. And I think, you know, one of the kind of the things that's continued to bubble up is that if there's a certain tackle there, they're going to take him. And that's Kingsley Suamataia.
Kingsley. Okay.
So we went on that tackle run. Yeah. You know,
there he is. Yeah. I like Kingsley, man. I just can't, I don't know if the Ravens would take him if he was there at 30, but I think they should. But, I'm a fan of Kingsley, dude. I think
here's my, you know, like irresponsible prediction. I think he goes in the first round. I think he goes higher than some of these tackles that we've talked about a lot more.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. I actually, and this was my end of March projection. I think he goes to Dallas at 24.
Oh, okay. Well, or is that just now, is that DraftPlex talking, or is that Jason, the Cowboys fan talking?
Both, because that's going to be that was my pick for them in my 2.0. And that's probably going to be my final pick for them as well. I think he compares really well to Matthew Bergeron from last year as a tackle coming out, even though they like kind of looked at him as a guard. He ended up going to Atlanta, but he was in the discussion. It was down to Mozzie and Matthew Bergeron as their pick last year in the first round.
Okay.
And Mozzie won out, and then we'll see how that turns out. But I also look at him as a lot of the projection on these tackles outside of, you know, Joe Alt and probably Jordan Morgan, most of these guys are right tackles by trade. And despite there just being like, oh, we'll just flip these guys side to side, like that's not the easiest transition for everybody. It's actually, you know, like if you look back like at this level in the first round, you don't want to do that. Like a lot of teams do that, but I wouldn't go in thinking, oh, we're going to take a right tackle and flip him to left. Because it's all, you know, footwork, it's routine, it's pattern, muscle memory. And then you're just creating obstacles for it. Whereas Kingsley's left tackle, he's played both and done so well. But I also think, you know, the athletic testing and everything, it just lines up really well. I think he checks a lot of those boxes that I think Dallas would look at. And, you know, a couple of years ago, they took Tyler Smith early in the first round, and he's an all pro. So, I mean, you know, like there's a precedent for taking someone that's kind of consistently lower and taking him early. And that's why I kind of have him as a 1-2. But I also think Kansas City, if Dallas takes a center or if they take a different tackle, Kansas City probably would have a hard time passing on him as well. So, I think I'm happy with our results. I think you're happy.
Yeah. I mean, so do you look at JC Latham as the preferred pick over Kingsley and over Tyler if they're all three available at 30?
I think JC Latham kind of, and I've had to adjust the, like where I have them in the rankings because I like, it's hard to find a place to put him. But I think where you've drafted him, he is a clear ahead of Kingsley, ahead of Guyton. Realistically, he might be ahead of Barton as well.
Okay. Just depends.
So I think value wise, you got the best value for the pick that you made there.
Nice. You know, Eric, just call me. Eric, just call me. I'll take care of everything. Let's see. Don C, our guy. Mainstay, he says, great stream, guys. I miss Jimmy and Glenn and Jimmy, DK on the sauce, texting reckless, and my Ravens on Sunday. Much love and respect. 410 fam. Yeah, my guy, man. I mean, Don C, the legend that is Don C. So supportive. Appreciate your continued support and generosity. I finally, guys, look, I'm trying, I got no DK in the back, so I'm trying to do everything. I put that troublemaker in timeout. All right, Turbo. I put your ass in timeout. I didn't block you. I just put you in timeout just to get you to cool off a little bit. I don't know what was being said, but I did come back to the chat saying, you gotta block this guy. Now I'm seeing in the chat that Blackula says that JC Latham gets a lot of penalties. Is that something that popped up during your evaluation of him? Is he a perpetual penalty guy?
I didn't notice that specifically. Okay. Let me look.
Yeah, because we don't need that's the one only thing, way.
Like, really, the only thing that I've seen a lot is obviously the track record of Alabama tackles.
Right, not good.
To the next level is not great. The penalties is not something that I saw specifically.
Okay.
It doesn't mean it's not out there. It's just, again,
you didn't notice,
I'm not digging into the profiles that deep and charting them on every single thing that happens. You've got first round tackle, and then we've got other guys. We're trying to flip positions based on limited experience. We've got Mims, who's talent may be out of this world. He's played 8 college games. So it is an inexact science. So
certainly you never do know. But if you had to project, do you look at JC Latham as a guy who could potentially start at right tackle this year and transition to left tackle where he plays the remaining years of his career next year? Is that possible for him?
I think it's possible. And he's certainly been vocal about his ability to do that over the course of the draft cycle. At the very least, if not to change his position already in this simulated scenario here, but he could also make for probably a pretty good guard as well. So,
okay,
there's that too. We got to fill that hole as well. So
certainly, yeah.
And as you've seen, there are some other second round tackles that
DK is here
solid as well.
Dude, I didn't even know you were here, dude. Sorry, dude. I'm sorry, Jay. I just now saw DK because you have to scroll down. So I just saw an additional window open and I was like, dude. And then somebody popped up this comment. I'm like, someone must be here. Sorry. I totally was thrown off. My focus was thrown off. But Steven says, Xavier, I know he meant Leggett, feels like a Raven, like Anquan Boldin. Chances you think we get him? Well, I will say this. When I did my last 3-round mock with Cole Jackson of Road Graders, we did have the Ravens trading out of the first round, and their pick they made in the second round was Xavier Leggett. So I guess this is a good opportunity to say, what are your chances of the Ravens getting him? Because I don't think they would take him at 30, but what's the lowest you think he would go? Like, could he make it to 63?
I think he could. Again, like we've talked about these wide receivers, like I've got him amongst, I think I have him at my wide receiver 8, and of the kind of in the, the top 2 rounds, I think I have 12 receivers. So that's probably not common for 12 receivers to go in the top 63 picks. That's what 20% of the picks being wide receivers, but depending on how the board falls, you could stand in and pick him and possibly have a chance of getting him at 63. I think he does go in round 2. I don't know that he crashes round 1. There could be some teams looking at him earlier in the second round too. So,
okay. And you like him as a player? You think he's a good player?
Yeah. Yeah. He certainly stands out among that second tier. You do have a lot of slot options, amongst that, but obviously Leggett he's a bigger bodied receiver, certainly a bigger target. I know like I've started to see like Buffalo might be interested in him. I don't know that they would go there at 28. That could be their fallback if they're wiped out of who they wanted to take early. They could trade out and maybe look at him early in the second round. So, but yeah, he's a good player and certainly worthy of that being in the top 64.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I think he's a fun player to watch, man. That's for sure. Like that guy, explosive. Like, yeah, he. And he's also fun to listen to in interviews. I like his southern drawl and Yeah, I think the Ravens would likely put him in front of the microphone quite often. But yeah, I mean, I'd be happy with this draft. If it resulted this way as a Ravens fan, I'd be absolutely thrilled. I'm assuming as a Cowboy fan, you would absolutely love that trade that you made early to go up and get who'd we end up taking? Oh,
we're getting Fuaga. Yeah, we're kind of betting against those comp picks we'll be getting last year for letting all our free agents go.
And that's part of the reason why I was okay with giving up the pick this year, mm-hmm. because the Ravens are set to max out the potential comp picks for next year with all the free agents they lost. So yes, they might give up their fourth this year, but they're expected to get multiple comp picks in that same round next year. So yeah, I certainly think that factors into things, but I think that's going to do it for us tonight, folks. I appreciate you, Jason, absolutely for being
for my,
certainly for being our co-host and also the GM of the 29 to 30 other teams that made selections. And I love that we didn't just go chalk. We didn't just go, you know, stand pat and pick. No, the Ravens trade. How many trades did we do total? Was it four?
I think three or four. Yeah.
It's definitely three or four, which is pretty cool. And we gave the fans a little bit something to look forward to, but I honestly don't think that that's like unreasonable to think that this could be similar. It could be relatively accurate. Steven goes on to say, we all know best player available is in our DNA, but with an O-line overhaul, do you see reaching for linemen because we need to invest in Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry? I mean, I could certainly see if they think that there's a guy that they think is the guy that gets them over that hump, but the Ravens are not a team that ever looks at a year as an all-in year. They want to compete year in and year out, so I don't think they'll, you know, give up the farm to jump up to the top, you know, 10 or top 12 to get a guy. That just doesn't seem like something they would do. But this type of a trade, a reasonable, you know, jump up, giving up a fourth round pick when, again, they're likely to get multiple fourth round comp picks for the guys they lost this year. I do think that that's certainly a possibility. That BPA thing is definitely in their DNA when you see a guy like Kyle Hamilton drop, but don't think that they don't take need and all that stuff into account, especially with their first pick. There's no way around it. It's be crazy to think that they're not. So I do think that they'll jump up, but not, I don't think they'll go all in and sell out for this year. Absolutely. But I do appreciate it.
Cause even if you didn't trade up, like you had some options there still in the offensive line, you still had Guyton there, who I think would be a good pick for the Ravens. You had Jordan Morgan, Kingsley was still there. So, and like you said, it was a reasonable move up, like just a little jump, and it didn't cost you all that much. And you could just as easily gain a fourth round back if you wanted to bump down in the second round or, you know, pick swap or anything of that sort. So, as long as you're not dipping into next year's like I did, you know, with the Cowboys trade up, you know, I think you'd be good shape. And this is a good draft for, you know, rebuilding the offensive line. And we've talked about that, you know, every position is reasonably deep, tackle, guard, center, you know, in the position flex of a lot of these guys too. So, a reach is probably not going to be necessary, but, it's always worth, you know, a little bit of a bump if you want to, if you're somebody you really want as your guy, you'd be willing to go up for.
No doubt. No doubt. Let's just see. I will say Eric DaCosta more aggressive in every way than Ozzie Newsome, who was the more patient guy and certainly has taught EDC some patience. But I do think if there's anyone who's going to be aggressive, it would probably be more so him than the old regime with Ozzie. But that's it for us tonight, folks. Jason, thank you again. And I'm certain we'll be talking at some point before the draft. Thanks again for fulfilling tonight, guys. We'll be back later this week. Not sure which day exactly. It's either going to be Thursday night or Friday night. Looking to have another special guest fill in for Jimmy until Jimbo Slimbo's back out and get ready to go. But thanks for joining us, and we'll talk soon.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.